Blog Talk Radio.
It's not that they keep trying. It's the fact that at the end of it, the end of the song, the end of the day, the end of it, well, the end of an episode, you find something's lacking, something's missing. There's something right in front of your face and you ain't seen it. Well, we're going to try to deal with that tonight. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Michael Lewis Ingram, and we're presenting a BASN black paper tonight on slaps. And I'm not just talking about the basic bitch slap, baby powder notwithstanding. We're talking about the insult, the inference, the fact that someone's eminently qualified for a situation, yet they go through all kinds of bullshit to endure. Now, obviously, this has to do with two separate issues. One, the Supreme Court elevation of Ms. Jackson. Woo! Congratulations. You should have been there without all the fucking drama that they put to you. But, you know, we'll get back to that. The other issue is, of course, what happened before, and I do mean before, the slap, because you all know what happened with the slap, you know, with the jokes and all the other shit. But what bothers me is the atmosphere before the slap is a culmination of a bunch of shit. Now, Will Smith, who I'm sure many of you know, is an actor. He's a talented young man. He's a performer. He's been successful in many venues, music, acting, whatever. He's married to a woman, Jada Pinkett, and they've got a couple of kids. Now, sounds very nuclear, doesn't it? Happy family, successful family, couple of kids. You can hear the theme song of My Three Sons playing in the background. But hold on, Baba Louie. There's some fucked up shit going on. And the fucked up shit is in Will Smith, you got a man who's presented like an alpha with a beta soul. What I mean by that is a young man who he's got a little soul to him. And I don't mean music. I mean, he's a sensitive cat. You know, as we were talking about this on my brother Gary's show last Saturday, they were making issue of the fact that Will Smith once dated salt or pepper, one of those spices, back in the day. And I believe it was Sandy, who was the one who I think is salt. Anyway, she was intimating that she dated Will, but Will was too nice. Now, if I'm going in a couple different directions, please forgive me, but there's some shit I got to get out because this bullshit I've heard for years, and it's time to address it. How can a brother be too fucking nice? You know, you treat people with respect. You treat women like they want to be treated or like they say they want to be treated. You know, I think that the one issue that was missing in all of this from Jump Street was the fact that while everybody was screaming about all the crap that was happening and the act of the slap, and the fact that the LAPD told Chris Rock, and good on Chris for having some sense. They told Chris, you know, we can go arrest this motherfucker if you want and charge him. Do you want to charge him? We'll get his black ass right now, you know? And Chris Rock said, no, that's not necessary. Because Chris knew. He knew what a handful of people know. He knew what my brother Eddie Griffin knows. And Eddie Griffin is a funny brother. And I mean funny, but he's one of the sharpest cats I know. And he can wax metaphysically, but my friend and colleague Ed Satterwhite does. But what gets me is that what Eddie Griffin said holds true. They don't let you get out clean. They don't let you get out clean because you can't be black and human and well off and well-meaning and well-deserving and still be in a position where you owe no one nothing. They're going to take something from you or they will never give it to you to begin with because they think you're not supposed to have it. Now, in the mix of a lot of emotions, as he was shown screaming, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth with regard to Chris Rock, they didn't appreciate the fact that this was an upset brother, not because of the embarrassment of the moment. This is an upset brother because he was in love. You know, for all this shit they want to talk about, Will Smith, I truly believe, loves Jada Pinkett Smith. And he couldn't step to her like an alpha. He made concessions, which eventually cuts deep. because even a dominant will say that they must submit to the idea of loving and being loved in order to follow through sincerely. Will Smith loves his wife. I don't know if the reverse applies, but after seeing what I saw, there's no fucking way she can look him in the eye and say, baby, I love you. You know, this wasn't just some passing fancy. You know, the brother shared vows to love, honor, and cherish his partner. And I'm sorry, ladies, but I gotta say it like it is. She ain't shit. She first cheated on him and broke the vow of being with no one else other than that partner. Then they declared to the world at large that it's an open marriage. I can't tell you, as somebody who was once married, I can't tell you what an open marriage is. I don't know. I don't even think people who say they're in open marriages say they know what an open marriage is. What I do know is that it's bogus. If you want to fuck around, stay single or admit that you're going to fuck around. Don't come off and give me some crap about it's open. If it was open, it never should have closed. You know, it's like, why bother? Did you make a vow out of convenience? You didn't even have to sign a prenup. Come on, stop. All this bullshit adds up to a couple of things, but the one constant is that relationships, be they man, woman, whatever the fuck, relationships are always a grind. And at some point, you got to have the realization, especially as a black man in this country, saying, listen, I can handle what these motherfuckers throw at me. What I need to know, do you have my back? That's always the question that hangs in the air. And the answer should be, yeah, hon, I got your back. Don't worry about it. It's you and me. Where the fuck goes down, it's between us. That's what it should be like. But how can you have someone's back when you go behind their back and do dirt like that? That's fucked up. You can't ask for backup. You can't ask for assistance because the person you need it from is supposed to be a partner. What are you going to do? Who are you going to call? You know, fuck this. This is crazy. You can't call anybody.
I love you. And I love you.
I love you.
And I
And does it matter if he calls you if you're not there or if you won't pick up? You know, this is not as simple as a response to a slap. Again, you can't fault Chris. Mr. Rock is a comedian. His vocation, he makes notes on observations and he responds to them. Sometimes with humor that's edgy, sometimes with stuff that makes you just laugh right out loud. He's doing exactly what the fuck he's supposed to. Now, my brother Gary says that Miss Pinkett Smith has a disability called alopecia. Now, I can't say for sure that I would call it a disability, but I respect my brother. It's an affliction, no doubt. But even with that, this chick was not ready for prime time. You know, Mr. Smith gained fame on television, later in movies and music. You know, in his movie career, he started to develop roles where he was kind of an everyman character. You know, like, say, Sidney Poitier was 50-odd years before him, one of those. Harmless. He wasn't a threat to be fucking your daughter or some crazy shit like that. He was put into a niche, and he was very successful in that niche. You know, while he was a character that could expand, he was not considered a sex symbol. You know, like, say, Denzel. I can remember myself and some of my friends talking about, when was Denzel going to do it? Or when were they going to force him to do it? Because, you know, Denzel, he's going to sleep with the white woman. Oh, yeah. But year after year after year, he carefully crafted his movie roles. And I remember the movie The Pelican Brief, where I believe in the story specifically, Julia Roberts' character, Darby Shaw, was supposed to, or he was desirous to sleep with him, and it didn't happen. They wrote around it. And Denzel was pretty much, that ain't me. And people were cool with it. They respected him for it. Now, it would have been all right with me either way, but that's how Denzel wanted the role, and we don't have a problem with that. Respect to the brother. But meanwhile, back at Mrs. Pinkett Smith, you know, you're supposed to back up your partner. How could you dog him out and fuck somebody else and then try to play therapist with some bullshit and say, well, let's talk about this over a red table? You don't even know how to love him as much as he loves you. At least that's surely what it looks like. Are you ready? You ain't fucking ready. I don't think you'll ever be ready. Are you ready?
Hell to no.
You're full of shit. You ain't ready. And you don't want to be ready because Will Smith eclipsed whatever it was you thought he was going to be. He's a far bigger star than you ever thought he would be. Which is strange because from a couple standpoint, hey, it's like if your star rises that high, go for it, baby. I'm all behind you. But you don't get that vibe that was ever there. You get the vibe that there's envy in the mix of that. How can two people who say they love each other allow something as dick dastard as envy to impugn what they're trying to build together? You know, when people talk about how they've been in love 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you know, and all that good stuff, how does that longevity maintain itself? It's because they think young. The old lovers are really young lovers, and they never got tired of each other. Stay young lovers because your souls are intertwined, not because of some eat that some guy or lady ordained in a church. It is because you're kindred spirits that wrap yourselves around each other. It can happen. I've seen it happen. I've lived it happening. parties have to be open to it. There really are no restrictions, but there are some guidelines that a female needs to understand. And Ms. Pinkett Smith was all about pushing the envelope. And when you push the envelope, sometimes it pushes back and it has nothing to do with anything, just that the times, they don't change. Somebody does, and it's a friend or a family member, whatever, they pull your coat to that reality, you wake the fuck up. You say, you know what, maybe I went about this the wrong way. I'm sorry. Behind closed doors, you do what you got to do. Bring emotional scales to balance and say, you went about this the wrong way. Or if it can't resolve itself, it's like, all right, we started out somewhere, we ended up somewhere else, and maybe goodbye is the possibility. And that's if somebody loves someone. Now, I'm not just saying this because I want to ride some shit. I say what I say because I can back up what I say. If you love someone, truly love someone, that you want the best for them, no matter what, that's real love. So I'm not talking about some fly-by-night shit just to ride someone's jock. I've lived this. And when you let somebody go out of love and they find love, it's a super blessing. And it's something you really know that, hey, I did the right thing. My time will come. And it has. But if you are in a position where you may have to tell somebody goodbye because the writing's on the wall, or you may have to tell somebody goodbye because your actions dictated, I can't keep you. I can't be with this. Because I didn't do right by you. I violated things. I did things. Maybe things that can't be forgiven. But if you do these things, you got to know. You have to have enough sense to say goodbye. A lot of people don't do that, and because of it, well, that's one reason love songs are good. You know, that might work as something that would be part of a playlist. You know, it's why back in the day, the radio stations were existing, and we'd call up and we'd say, please play this for so-and-so, because we couldn't get our feelings, the baby, the way we wanted to, because we weren't finished emotionally like that. But it's frustrating when You've got love to give. And there's someone you want to give it to. And no matter how the methodology, it doesn't come out the way you want. And they're not hearing it. They're not seeing it. Something's going on. They're missing. And you may even hit a couple of times trying to hit, and you still miss. So what you going to do? You wait for an opportunity, but sometimes opportunity won't wait on you. What do you do about that? Well, we would like to find out ourselves. Sadly, it seems like we don't get that. Endeavors to be patient endeavors to be diligent. But they don't want to wait forever. And what do? You know, we've seen this. Some people, they size the situation up and they say, yeah, I know I got him. You know, he ain't going to leave this pussy. Or whatever I have, he wants it so bad, he don't want to leave. And that's when the old dick dastardly shit starts to manifest, where they start using and abusing, taking advantage of a person. And they come down on them hard when they think something might be going on. So they'll overcompensate and they'll say, uh-huh, yeah, I know what's going on.
But you know what I'm gonna do?
You know, I've been working on a project with a young man in Vancouver named Jason Hoover. Jason, by the time we're done, is going to have a life story done about his musical career and some of the hills he had to climb. And I would say this because he came in at a time where there were others who were in a position like him. And they could have made a blossoming situation manifest itself. There's a brother like him named Bobby Taylor, God rest his soul. Bobby put together a great song, which in my opinion is the third most important song in Motown's history, after My Girl and Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Now, the ironic thing about this is that when this song was written, it was supposedly done to show affection as a black guy's pouring his heart out to connect with a white girl and have the white girl's family understand. That was the perception. But the song was written by an Asian man who wanted to connect with a black girl and wanted to step to her family properly. And if Berry Gordy and Motown had had any motherfucking sense, they would have used this as a bouquet to all black women to say that you're worthy, that you matter, and that you should be desired and lusted for just as, if not more so, than any other or in the same as. When the song came out, he missed a great opportunity, even though some folks caught it. A little bit of publicity, and who knows?
And what?
Apparently, she does know, because if she didn't know, she would say, sweetie, you got to treat that young man better. As was first said, this cat is a nice guy. And there's something about being nice and being black and being male that somehow doesn't generate a positive response, ironically, to women. Now, before I get on to the other slap, I want to make it clear. You need to understand something. This is the classic case of a nice guy. Fortunately, he didn't finish last in terms of other aspects of his life. But there's some of that now staring him in the face because of how he was treated. I've always had one basic rule. I don't give a fuck what color you are. Basically, what you look like. If you are aesthetically appealing to me and I feel something general and genuine within my framework, that initiates my interest, yes. My sense of kindred spirit, yes. But ultimately, it's how well you treat a person. If you treat me well, I'm with you. And think if a person's a nice guy, you would want to treat them well. And I've heard the conversations. We are the good black men. And all that other horse shit. A lot of them don't appreciate the ones they have. There are lots of good black men who do good black things, who do extraordinary things and do ordinary things on an extraordinary basis. They get out there and they're fathers and parents and providers. I once heard this woman say in Canada once. She worked for Canada Immigration, by the way. Well, I don't know about black men. They make wonderful lovers, but they're lousy fathers and parents. Fuck you. And fuck all of you who think that way. And this one happened to be white, but that would go for black as well. Sometimes black is even worse because you get this nonsense out of their mouths that makes it seem as if, well, something's wrong with you. What is wrong with being a loving partner? What is wrong with wanting to do best for your partner? What's wrong in providing and doing the things necessary to make the person happy? So much so that they ask the question, are you happy? What can I do for you? Many black men have asked that question, and not as many got a positive answer, because it's always something else. You know, the whole nonsense about, or they're soft, or they're simps, or some stupid shit like that. That means you don't know how to be treated like a human being. I'm sorry for you, boo, but that's part of it. And I tell you, for the cats to get dogged out like that, you have my sincere sympathy. But all you bitches that come on funky like that, I don't give a fuck what color you are, what your ethnic background is. You know, sometimes you got to say, karma might be late, but she never, and I mean never, misses an appointment.
I want to dedicate this song to all the lovers tonight. And I expect that might be the whole world, because everybody needs something or someone to love. When it's cold outside, who are you holding? You know, if y'all don't mind, I'd like to talk about this woman of mine.
She's always complaining about me never being at home. But when I'm down broke, telling about the things that a girlfriend's got, what she ain't got, and she want me to go out and get them for her. But girl, I can't be in two places at one time. Get the things you don't want in life. Waiting until tonight, girl. I'll be gone.
No way.
doggone back in the town.
Like Brother Romax says, I'll be long, long gone, long gone. Pull that shit on me. There's brothers out there that they don't want to hear that shit anymore. Will Smith is a rarefied air, and he shouldn't have to feel it any differently than a regular brother. I can remember back in the days when Oprah Winfrey, the fucking cow, had a show, and she was just starting out. And the crowds were mostly black. But, of course, that changed as soon as sponsors came in, and then the crowds all of a sudden changed to mostly white. But anyway, the question had to do with people dating outside their ethnic background. And she learned from Donahue, so she was like, she had the microphone in the audience, and this brother picks up the microphone. He says, I drive a bus for the Chicago Transit Authority. You know, now, I'm not profane. I don't talk about asses and all that old crazy shit. But I say someone looks nice, so I try to compliment them politely. But yet, the ladies see my bus uniform, and they don't want to say anything. They don't give me the time of day. Now, of course, back then, she had the resident expert, and it was a sister. She said, well, you know what? This is something that really needs to be touched on, because there are a lot of good brothers out there who are blue-collar cats, and they can be the partners and providers and others that others want. And Oprah cut her off and said, well, marinate on that. We'll go to commercial. 2 minutes later, she comes back, and she starts changing the subject. Now, the sister gal is like, you know, please, can we get back to this? And, you know, the Oprah's one of these sisters that she thinks she's the smartest person in the room. So she knows exactly what she's doing. And she says, well, so what, essentially, and changes up. Now, all she had to say was, you know what? That has merit. There are a lot of sisters who can find good partners, et cetera, with blue-collar brothers. And she decided not to go that way. And when she did that, I knew she knew what she was doing. And I was like, you fucking bitch. And that's essentially my take on this. It's like, how can you be so abusive when you know what folks go through, you know? Now, Will might be submissive. I don't know. I don't care. But the fact that you dogged him out like that and went outside the relationship and made it public, you know, it could have been on fake news. And they could have left it alone. But that's not what happened. And again, Chris Rock is innocent in this. Chris Rock was doing his job presenting the Oscars, being a host, an MC, telling jokes, sometimes with edge, sometimes they miss, but he's doing his job. And she smiled too. Even will smile. But then he caught the side eye from his woman. And that's when she went to pot. Now, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you I have answers to all this. But you know, if we slip back to the basic, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, there's a fair complete. She should have did right by her partner. Chris Rock had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, Chris knows what time it is. As he would intimate, and as my brother Eddie Griffin would intimate, nobody gets out clean. They don't want black men getting out clean. You got to have some dirt on you because you weren't supposed to be there anyway.
Racism everywhere. Everybody pissed off. Black people yelling racism. White people yelling reverse racism. Chinese people yelling sideways racism. And the Indians ain't yelling shit because they dead. So everybody bitch about how bad they people got it. Nobody got it worse than the American Indian. Everybody need to calm the fuck down. Indians got it bad. Indians got it the worst. You know how bad the Indians got it? When's the last time you met two Indians? You ain't never met two Indians. Shit, I have seen a polar bear ride a fucking tricycle in my lifetime. I have never seen an Indian family just chilling out at Red Lobster. Never seen it. Everybody want to save the environment. Shit, I see trees every fucking day. I don't never see no Indians. I went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade this year. They didn't even have enough Indians for that shit. They had a bunch of pilgrims. When it came time for the Indians, they had three real Indians, and the rest was a bunch of Puerto Ricans with feathers in their hair. The fuck? Shit, I know Puerto Ricans when I see them. You can't slip a Puerto Rican by me. That's not Pocahontas, that's Jennifer Lopez. Like racism everywhere. Who's the maddest people? White people. Not y'all, y'all all right. Pay money to see me, we cool. The feud is over. Now, you watch the TV, you watch like 60 Minutes or so, you see white people pissed off, man. Mad, the white man thinks he's losing the country. You watch the news like, we're losing everything. We're fucking losing affirmative action and illegal aliens, and we're fucking losing the country. Losing? Shut the fuck up. White people ain't losing shit. If y'all losing, who's winning? It ain't us. It ain't us. Have you driven around this motherfucker? It ain't us. Shit. Shit, there ain't a white man in this room that would change places with me. None of you. None of you would change places with me, and I'm rich. How good it is to be white. There's a white one-leg busboy in here right now that won't change places with my black ass. He's going, nah, man, I don't want to switch. I want to ride this white thing out. See where it takes me. That's right. So when you white, the sky's the limit. When you black, the limit's the sky. Right, man. Now, when it comes to racism, you know who the most racist people are for real? The real most racist people? Old black men. You find a brother over 60. I know some of you white people know an old black man. You go, oh, Willie at the job. He's so nice. Willie hates your gut. You nothing more racist than an old black man. You know why? Because an old black man went through some real racism. He ain't go through that "I can't get a cab" shit. He was the cab. White man is jump on his back. Main Street. Left, nigga! Left, nigga! Left, you fucking nigga! You know what's wild about the old black man, though? Old black man, he ain't gonna let you fuck up his money. Whenever an old black man sees an old white man, the old black man always kisses the old white man's ass. Like, "How you doing, sir? Pleased to meet you. Whatever I can get you, you let me know." As soon as the white man get out of sight, he's like, "Cracker ass, cracker. Cracker ass, cracker. I'll put my foot in the cracker ass, cracker ass, cracker. I wish that cracker would have said some shit to me. Saltine ass motherfucking cracker. Motherfucker. Cracker, kiss my ass, you fucking cracker." White man come back. "Howdy, sir."
Yeah, that's exactly right. Cracker ass cracker. Well, when they do what they do, how they do, you got to call it. We got to call that song exactly how it is. Now, unfortunately, they don't hesitate to do it the other way around. But before I get into Ms. Jackson, I got to leave Will something. You know, you can please a lot of folks. There's just no pleasing certain folks. When you've done what you've done as well as you've done it, made everybody happy except yourself, that's sad. And you dedicate yourself to working hard, to doing things right, and to do it right by people. You know, there's nothing wrong with being nice. Not a fucking thing. There's not a thing wrong with being nice. It's nice to be nice. But some people look at that as a sign of weakness. Sad to say, even your partner may have seen that sign of weakness, which is kind of fucked up. And she is your partner, so I won't go any further than what I already have said. But when you have a partner, you're supposed to ride together. When you talk about ride or die is for real. We're not talking about going out like Bonnie and Clyde, but ride or die is about knowing that somebody feels the same way about you, that you matter to them. And the worst thing that anyone can have is for somebody to look at you when you look at them and you already know it ain't there and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah!
I wish you the best, Lou. I wish you the best, Will. For real. I hope whatever happens, it works itself out. It's a damn shame that you just can't be treated right. There's a lot of good black men who don't get what they're supposed to get. You should be getting their proper, as Sister Rita says, but don't get it because of distorted ideas of expectations from their partners or just others who have no partners or others who believe that what these men are offering are beneath what they want or what they think they want. Anyway, moving on, I speak now about Judge Jackson, who apparently will carry on. She will become an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. Like many of you, I sat back and I watched a lot of this process, and I was pissed that they did what they did, how they did it. Ted Cruz, you motherfucker, may you fall for your own asshole and break your motherfucking neck. You know, Holly, Cotton, all these cocksuckers, you know. You can make as many bills as you want, produce as much legislation as you want. You know, you can push the envelope, but so far, Ted Cruz can make 1,000 bills. And they'll say, as Ted Cruz, the maker of bills, but suck one cock, and you're a cocksucker for life. Ted Cruz, you are definitely a cocksucker for life. This motherfucker went to the same school that she did and still figured it was more expeditious to dog out Miss Jackson than say that she's got more qualifications than at least two people on the current court. And never mind that asshole, that joke Clarence Thomas, who's sitting on the court already. We already know. There's a big fucking problem. And these motherfuckers still think we are in the throes of slavery. There's one brother who talks about black Americans being weaned on the killing fields of the plantations, and he is so right. But what they always want to forget is how the damage was done and how we're supposed to pretend that there's nothing to see here. Move on. That happened so long ago. Why don't you Negroes get over it? When you treat somebody like a nigger, and the definition is an ignorant person, not this bullshit y'all come up with. So there's plenty of white niggers out there. I'm telling you, I'm here to let you know. But when it comes out, when you treat it like that, they want to try to demean you in such a manner with all your platitudes, all the things that you worked so hard for, all the things that you earned are condensed into moments that should break your spirit. But then when it's all done, some of these same motherfuckers will come up there and go, oh, congratulations on making a court. Fuck you. And I hope she says that to everyone who did that to her.
Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, commented on reparations. This is a big deal right now. Everybody's talking about it. Matter of fact, today there was a meeting on the Senate, gathered a lot of people. He said that none of us that are currently living are responsible for slavery. Why should we pay for something we didn't do? Even if you didn't own slaves, if you're a white man of a certain age in America, you directly benefited from them. You probably were taught to speak or to ride a bike or how to cook by somebody who directly owned slaves. You benefit. You got a head start. The school you went to, University of Kentucky, you got to go to school without them accepting black people. You got a head start directly because of slavery. The Civil War ended in 1965, 100 years after the Civil War ended. I was born in 1965. I'm the first one of my mother's children to be born with the full rights of an American citizen. You, from your first breath, were an American citizen. You got all the rights due an American citizen from the very time you were born. If you purchase stolen goods knowing they're stolen, they're still stolen, and if you lose those goods and no longer have them, you still have to make restitution. You still have to pay for the stuff. Possession, 9/10 of the law, you still receive stolen property that you knew was stolen. As far as I know, there's no statute of limitations on murder, which happened all the time. And they always talk about how they hate freeloaders. It is against the laws of finance to have profit without loss. You can't get all the money. Imagine how much money you would have if it was all profit. You didn't have to pay for gas. You didn't have to pay for living expenses. You didn't have to pay taxes. How much money would you have? That's in essence what America got from having slavery. And just because a bill doesn't come on time doesn't mean it ain't due. You run up an American Express bill, let it be late. Are they going to say, well, it happened a long time ago, we're going to let that go? That's not what happens. And they've done it before. This idea that it was so long ago we can't do it. In 1982, the federal government paid $25,000 to the family of Italians who were lynched in 1891. So you will pay lynched Italians 100 years later, but not people who were descendants of slaves. You won't do that. And none of those people who were lynched were there, and none of the people who wrote the checks to them actually perpetrated the crime. They were the descendants of those people. And you paid them. You paid Japanese internment camps. Each survivor got $25,000. Reagan did that. The Native Americans got $1.3 billion after World War II. So the national debt right now, as it stands, is $22 billion. So, and we also rebuild countries that we ruined. We ruin those countries. We run up a tab to our national debt by fixing the countries that we've damaged. So there's a national debt clap you see right now. It says that every American family owes almost $1 million. Now, who's going to pay for that? $1 million. You know, actually, I was born paying for stuff that I never had, that I never was a recipient of. Social Security works that way. So you get to decide your argument is just because I didn't do it, I wasn't there, I shouldn't pay for it. This country got rich and received recompense by brutalizing people. And it's amazing. It's amazing that the very people right now will build monuments acknowledging slavery. Confederate statues acknowledge that, but they do not want to deal with the repercussions of it. If you don't have the money, that's fine. Do what we do. Put a little something on it. You don't have to give people 48 exams. You, I know that's impossible. You can send people to school. You can forgive debt. You can give no interest loans. There are a lot of things you could do to make things right, not because you owe, but because it's the right thing to do. You said yesterday, you said, why should I pay for sins I haven't committed? But you are the same people to go ask, what would Jesus do? Isn't that what the guy that you always wear those bands and espouse his name would do? He paid for sins he didn't commit.
Say that shit, DL.
But, you know, seeing the lady get grilled like she did and the way she did, it may as well just have said it. You know, nigga, you want to be on this court? How can that be? We can't let your black ass get on this court. Now, we got one nigga on the court, and he's our house nigga, so he's okay. He's controlled. We gave him his white trophy wife, more like a booby prize wife. But it's okay. We know what he'll do. We don't know what you'll do. And even if we did know from what we gathered what you do, it's not enough. We have to discredit. We have to discredit you. If you make it to the court, ain't nothing personal, you know. We're just trying to be hard. Well, fuck you. We know exactly what it is when they see us. It doesn't matter whether that person is male or female. If they're black, they have a hunch as what their preconceived notion is when they see us. If they're male, they definitely have a preconceived notion when they see us. But it doesn't matter. When they see us, most of the time, that image is not a positive. Say that shit for real.
All right, over the weekend I watched When They See Us, Ava DuVernay's four-part series on Netflix. It was both the most beautiful and sad thing I've ever seen. It is the story of five young boys, 14 to 16 years old, who are accused of rape and assault of a white jogger based on little to no evidence at all. There was no physical evidence that connected those boys to the scene. There was no eyewitness evidence that connected them to the scene. They happened to be what all black and brown parents fear, the wrong place at the wrong time. And their lives were turned upside down. Complicit was a legal system and powerful people that decided that these boys should be the example. And all of those people who were involved, from the district attorney to the prosecutor to even a businessman in New York, have all gone on, even despite these boys' trials and travails, have gone on to great success. Donald Trump became president. The district attorney, the prosecutor, became a best-selling author. Somebody else became a teacher at Columbia. There is nothing that you could accuse black people of that people will not believe. Nothing. Even absent evidence, not one shred of physical evidence placed those boys in the scene, a scene that bloody and that brutal, with no evidence, nothing saying that they were there. Later on, the man who came forward, whose evidence was, DNA was everywhere, he came forward, and they still couldn't say that those boys hadn't done it. I was reading CNN, and they had an exhaustive list of all of the men. Did an exhaustive study, and it talked about how black people are more likely to be falsely accused and adjudicated than any other race. And that is because when they see us, they see monsters. I asked Jay, who works on our show, to put together a list. He had 5 minutes to do it. He was able to come up with 92 names. Now, I can't read them all because we have commercials to run. But some of the ones that pop out are Ed Johnson, 1906, rape. Thomas and Meeks Griffin, 1913, murder. The Scottsboro Boys in 1931. Ed Brown, 1934, murder. Arthur Ellington, 1934, murder. Henry Shields, 1934, murder. George Stinney, 1944, murder. Lena Baker, 1945, murder. Reuben Carter, 1966, murder. Dewey Bozella, 1977, murder. Clarence Brantley, 1980, murder. Grover Thompson, 1981, stabbing. Troy Davis, 2011, murder. And these happens in all regions across the country. Now, these are people who somebody put at a scene and put to jail based on little or no evidence, because all you have to do is say a black person did something and people will be inclined to do it. The only thing they don't believe is that we went to school and that we work hard and that we're honest and that we love our families. You can't believe that. But any horrible thing you accuse black people of, you can get away with it, and they'll do it. Those boys lost their lives because they became what that system decided they should be, monsters, and they weren't. They were children. You send a 16-year-old boy to Riker, to Attica, in a maximum security prison. You ruined their life. And you know what you did? You gave them $41 million. Do you know that Erin Andrews, a white woman, somebody saw her through a peephole, and she got $50 million? So breaking five black lives doesn't mean anything. Seeing a naked white woman, everything. And every one of those people who prosecute the prosecutor, Donald Trump and the district attorney, all those people all profited from it. They sold books. They became president. They became teachers at Columbia. I don't think it's enough just to ask that we boycott that woman's books. I think she should be indicted. I think she should go to jail. I think she should suffer the same thing that they suffered. You saw those children. You didn't see children. You saw monsters, and you made them that. And you contorted them to do it. And you did it in spite of all the evidence saying, no, here's the thing I don't understand. Science says we did do it. Science says we didn't. You can say whatever you want about us, and people will believe it. Right now, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America because he said he wasn't born here, and people believed it absent evidence. They believe the worst about us. I've said this before, and I mean it to be true. The most dangerous place for us to live is in white people's imagination. The movie is called When They See Us. I suggest that you all see it. And when they do see us, what a lovely day it'll be. Because they will finally get to see that we're no less human, no less loving, no less fearful, no less flawed than anybody else. It'll be a great day in America when they do finally see us. All right, that's a little note from the GED section.
Yeah. The GED section said what needs to be said about Justice Jackson.
She sat there calmly. She took all the shit that she had to take because you always had to do that and heard what they had to say. And, of course, the sisters blew her up. Of course, she's worthy of it. She did the work. She deserves the credit. But that will never go. She will never get proper due. Even after she's made a Supreme Court justice. And I've heard that there are at least three Republican senators who will vote for her. But it's more like they did her a big fucking favor. They should be voting for her because she's the best qualified. And maybe they are. But doesn't matter. That table has been set a long time ago. They already know. They'll say what they want to say. And they know what matters to them is nothing more than the reality that she got in. And maybe somebody will say, you know what, sis? It's okay. You got in. Didn't matter how you got in. Now you can make change from within or something to that effect. But really, what they did to her was disgusting. Made me realize, I don't want any of that shit. How she can want it, she's got to want it awfully, awfully bad. Listen, they were ready to vote her out. Many of these Republicans are ready to vote. They were ready to get rid of her. Because what could they say? Oh, she's radical. She believes in kid prostitution, kid pornography. You know, she was soft on that shit. People looking for stuff. Desperate. Really couldn't find any, but it wasn't like they weren't trying. Lindsey Graham, he liked to beat that motherfucker with a Kiva cookie and send his ass back to the hollow tree. But no matter what happens, after the damage, she's in. She's in. And all the Republicans are thinking is,
inside your mind.
What the fuck went wrong? It worked. She's in. So whatever y'all did, it wasn't enough. But I know you enjoyed trying to impugn her character to the degree that you did. My brother Gary Norris Gray is in the house, having spent some time with Ray Parker on radio, which is always a good thing. But G, as he's coming into the mix, I'm still annoyed at the fact that both these slaps are indications of bigger problems. The Supreme Court slap was, of course, that it doesn't matter how qualified you are, if you're black, they're still going to treat you like shit. And the Will Smith slap is an indication of nobody realized that he was slapped, Will, that is. Mr. Smith was slapped long before the incident with Chris Rock. And good evening.
Yeah, you're right. You're true. There are so many levels of this thing that where do we begin? Number one, you don't make fun of disability. I said it before, I'll say it again. Disability is sacred ground.
True.
And some of y'all don't think that aphasia is a disability. Well, I beg to differ with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way people look at you, right?
Yep.
In the American society, we are a visual nation.
Agreed.
And you see a woman with no hair, you got first impressions. We all know we ride our first impressions.
That's true.
So, and trust me, being a disabled guy, I get it. The first impression. It's lasting forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's the first thing. The second thing is, African-American men are in a ESD syndrome. What I mean is, there are nowhere for this in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You do right, they don't like you. You do wrong, they don't like you.
Yep.
There you are, okay? Will Smith, look, I don't think what he did was right. But I understand.
Yep.
I don't think what Chris Rogers was right. But I understand.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this, all this stuff, we had a black director, black producer, black co-host. And you know what I'm going to say? Old Chris? Russell down. See, we can't lose. We can't let Negroes do anything.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. And my ancestry said a long time ago, listen, or your tongue will go to death. Listen. That's right.
Well,
we gotta listen.
I'm happy that Sister Gal is going to get in. What I would be annoyed at is if Ted Cruz or one of those assholes who was grilling her stepped to her and gave her a fake smile and a congratulations.
Yeah.
I would take a baseball bat and beat the shit out of Ted Cruz with it.
Well, yeah, see, it is also the other side of this. White America, you got to wake up. You got to wake up.
Yeah.
Because you cannot continue the nonsense that you're doing right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, my fellow Americans, Ted Cruz is not going to help you.
Yep.
That crazy woman from Georgia, not gonna help you. President Trump is not gonna help you. They don't care. Until you get to that point where you understand, until you get to that point where they don't care about you, you ain't gonna change either.
True that.
Because you're comfortable, you are comfortable the way you are.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. That is the problem. That's not the solution, but recognizing the problem is part of the solution. And I do want to say again that, and this is for the sisters. Stop talking shit. And if you have a black man, support them. Just as I want them to support you. Don't hand me this false nonsense.
And also, Michael, you're correct. And also, okay, for me, I have a person outside my culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're criticizing me because I have somebody outside my culture. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We know about that, Gene. You know? Listen, life is too short for the bullshit. And if Jada was white, I'd say the same fucking thing. Life is too short for the bullshit. If you're upset that your man is more accomplished than you, then go to counseling or whatever the fuck shit it is and get another red table and do something about it. But don't try to destroy him, especially when you know how thick, dastardly this society goes about.
Michael, you said that. You know why? Because Will Smith was Hollywood. Let me read that again. Will Smith was Hollywood. He could do anything he wanted to do. Right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what he is now? He's a Negro. That's what he is now.
That's right. They made him a pariah. And they like doing that. That's right. That's like I said, they made him a pariah. They like doing that. And that is why Eddie Griffin is the smartest brother in the room. Because he saw this coming. And he said, brothers don't get away clean. No, Cosby didn't get away clean. Even Timmy Porter didn't get away clean.
If you don't understand this,
Mm-hmm.
Look up, Tiger Woods. If you understand this, look up Serena Williams.
Serena Williams.
If you understand this, they have to, you know what I'm going. Look up, Barry Bonds. Hello.
Look up Naomi Osaka.
Thank you.
You don't get away clean. I'm going to leave it at that for now because we got more good stuff coming up Wednesday with the Hump Day special. We will bring this to back and reminisce on other ways that we can translate how this wisdom will help us going forward. And it is wisdom because those who do not understand the past are doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
Any last words before we go off air, G?
Michael, I want people to think before they speak. I mean, really think before they speak. And watch what you do and how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors told us to respect ourselves. If you don't respect yourself, I ain't gonna respect somebody else to do it.
There you go.
I'm done.
Thank you, brother. We'll see you guys Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
See you Wednesday at 9.
The dump day is special. Go safe. Stay safe. Be safe. Good night.